Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome, TGIF Devil's Advocate. Aaron the Grievances, how you doing, little buddy?
I'm awesome, Crudy. Happy Friday to you. Got our pal Evan on the board and screening your calls. And of course, happy Friday to us all. I told you we'd make it.
Dominic, we saved the best for last. We got the best lineup of the week. We got Scott Ross, the aggressive tweeting Gemini friend of ours. He's quite ethical, with or without the appointment. Scott Ross joins us at 4:30 Central Time. And then one of our very favorites, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, Maggie Dawn. Five, she's going to make the happier hour happier. And Dom, we're going to bid Adam Kinzinger, the congressman from Illinois, goodbye. But the lead today, perhaps, Dom, the most important story of the day, according to Politico, the January 6th committee is going to make three criminal referrals of Donald Trump on Monday, and it will play out live right here on the Civic Media app. And, of course, right here in 92.7 Devil Radio in Madison, I'm here today. Slick. It's slick roads. There's light snow falling. And on top of the earlier snow, it's getting slick out there, so be careful. Worried about my kid. He's at a wrestling
meet. Yeah, I know, man.
A little nervous about the road conditions.
Well, they got to learn sometime, Crudy. Yes, Monday, three criminal charges, according to Politico, going to be filed. An historic event. You can hear it here live. A little bit of the detail here, Crudy, among the charges.
My only fear with the kids today, Bon Jovi didn't warn them. Slippery when wet.
Thank you for that, Michael. You give love a bad name. Among the charges. Among the charges,
I'm living on a prayer here.
Oh, give me some bad medicine. It's a Friday. Among the charges that subcommittee proposes for Trump, insurrection. Number two, obstruction of an official proceeding. And number three, conspiracy to defraud the United States government. And it wouldn't be a Donald Trump situation if the word fraud or defraud wasn't somehow included. Three criminal referrals, according to Politico.
And we will play out the live hearing starting about noon. My understanding, it's going to be a little briefer affair, about 90 minutes. And my understanding is they are going to vote as a committee, I suspect unanimously, Dom.
Yeah.
To bring criminal charges, or at least to refer criminal charges to the Department of Justice. And Dom, you know our good buddy, James Santel. And he'll do the morning cannolis tomorrow morning, 9 to 11, right here on the Civic Media Network. And then on Monday, post-January 6th hearing day, the very last one. Because, you know, we lost the Congress. So it will be disbanded. The January 6th committee will be disbanded. Thrown to the wind.
Well, the Republicans, as they assume their committee chairs, they're not going to continue on this very important work, Crudy. I mean, you think if a president, let's say it was, Joe Biden or maybe Barack Obama, if they were involved in an insurrection or obstruction of an official proceeding or conspiracy to defraud the United States, if that were a Democratic governor, president, don't you think they would be very, very interested in continuing on their investigation?
Well, they'll investigate Hunter Biden. That's got to count for something. 844-967-2789. Friday, we air the grievances. And you can be a part of this program. I'm sorry. I wanted to finish with the thought that James Santel will be on Monday's show at 5 o'clock. And now you go.
Okay, now I will go. Politico also reporting that it is unclear whether the Select Committee's final report will recommend additional charges beyond the three described to Politico, or whether it will urge other criminal charges for other players in Trump's bid to subvert his 2020 loss. So we're getting teased here a little bit. We're gonna have to wait. But I love a little heads up here, and I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of this. To justify incitement of insurrection, the report references U.S. District Judge Emmett Mettis' February filing ruling, saying that Trump's language plausibly incited violence on January 6th when a mob of his supporters besieged the Capitol. The report also cites the Senate's 57 votes in last year's impeachment trial, Trump's second, to convict him on an incitement of insurrection charge passed by the House. The Select Panel's report also notes that in order to violate the insurrection statute, Trump does not need to express agreement with the rioters, but rather simply needed to provide aid or comfort to them. Aid or comfort. I mean, that's something that you don't really think about when you think of Donald Trump, unless it's in, of course, the criminal capacity, because he sat on his ass for 3 hours while his mob attacked the thin blue line.
But he's still giving aid and comfort to the January 6th people, right? Thinks they should all be let out of jail.
Well, yeah, but it's costing him $99 a card.
Pardons for everyone. Blessing from the cult. Anyways, Dominic, there's another grievance, my actual grievance.
Yes.
Other than the fact it's not Monday yet, I'm looking forward to Monday. That's a strange thing to say. First, I'm looking forward to the weekend. Then I'm looking forward to Monday. And the January 6th reporter, at least large portions thereof, will be released Monday before the January 6th hearing plays out live right here on your Civic Media Network. But Dom, I got to go out of town this weekend. It's a working weekend for me. I'm driving up to the Northwoods. Again, up to Wexy 1260 territory, up to Ambry, Wisconsin. And hoping to build some relationships. Let's just say that. Maybe find a voice of the Northwoods. But I don't want to drive. I don't want to drive on slick roads. Last time I drove up to Ambry, I mean, the weather report said, oh, good weather. Yeah, until you get to Eau Claire and I'm driving through snow squalls. I'm like, what the hell is this? Well, I checked the Ambry weather and I checked the Madison weather. But you drive through like three different time zones to get to that part of the state. Or at least it feels that way. Sure would like to take a train. A decade ago, we had the opportunity, high-speed rail in the state of Wisconsin. Nearly $1 billion federal investment coming to the state. And your buddy, Scott Wanker, the Wanker, Scott Walker, the former Republican governor of the state of Wisconsin, basically campaigned on the premise, I'm going to hold back time. I'm going to stop all progress in the state. Because, you know, we, the taxpayers, with this enormous, and I mean, look at the budget for the state of Wisconsin. What are we up to? $70 billion per biennium? I mean, I haven't looked recently. Maybe it's more than that. But the problem, according to Scott Walker, is we could be on the hook. We, the taxpayers, for like $2 million a year in track maintenance. That was the alleged
that was
problem.
It. Yes,
the ongoing maintenance
federal
cost,
money,
overruns.
Almost $1 billion, build this thing up, and the state would be on the hook for $2 million a year in annual track maintenance.
Now, they promised the construction and the ongoing running of this new high-speed rail would create like 13,000 jobs. And Scott Walker made a big promise, 250,000 jobs. Dom, he didn't reach that promise in 8 years because he kept killing jobs. He kept doing stupid things. He killed what? He killed not the Bucks Arena. He hoisted the paying for the Bucks Arena on the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin. He killed the high-speed rail. He killed broadband expansion. And also the casino that the Hard Rock tribe wanted to build in Kenosha, Wisconsin, they were going to give $250 million so the taxpayers didn't have to, and they were going to build the Fiserv Forum. I mean, that was a hell of a deal, a twofer. Except Scott Walker, about 2014 timeframe, he was going to go run for president. And he got a letter from 400 Christian conservatives in Iowa. Please don't. Then he probably got some campaign cash from Sheldon Adelson, a
casino magnate that said, us Christians in Iowa don't like your sinful casinos in the state of Wisconsin.
But 10 years later, more than 10 years later, since the election of Scott Walker, we in the state of Wisconsin have wanted for infrastructure investment. Because we turned it back. We said, hell no. Not the internet. Not the high-speed rail.
Not hell legal no. weed.
Nothing that had Obama's name on it was going to be good for the state of Wisconsin. We still are one of the unique states in that the state of Wisconsin has not expanded Medicaid. Do you know how many billions of dollars the state has flushed down the toilet? How many people, poor Wisconsinites, just above the poverty threshold, have been forced into Obamacare exchanges, ACA exchanges, that weren't really set up for people at their income thresholds? You're supposed to be eligible to 136%. But Scott Walker had a unique way of doing it. He pushed families, people with children, he pushed them, if they were above 100%, pushed them to the Obamacare exchanges. Remember when Barack Obama came to town, Dom? We saw him down at North Division High School in Milwaukee. And what was the occasion?
Milwaukee signed up the most people for Obamacare in the entire country as a percentage.
And why did I speculate at the time that would be? A big metro like Milwaukee, why was it necessary? Well, of course, because the state of Wisconsin, under Scott Walker's tutelage, refused to expand Medicaid, and they forced people that were and should have been Medicaid eligible to an exchange where even with subsidized premiums, they couldn't afford the co-pays. They couldn't afford it. It was set up for people with higher income structures than them. And oh yeah, he killed the train. Well, here we are, a decade later, Dom, new opportunity. Amtrak wants to include Madison. No, it's still on Madison. We got to get our act together. We got to pick a location for this train. Yes, Dom?
I want to be clear, Cody. It wasn't just that Scott Walker killed the train. Scott Walker killed the train to a cost of Wisconsin taxpayers of about $50 million. We could have paid for that $2 million of maintenance for 25 years for the cost that it took to get us out of the deal. $50 million.
Scott Walker killing the deal with the manufacturer of the actual rail cars, Talgo, cost the state tax $50 million. Maybe it was more than that.
It's
come 50. Back. Devil's Advocates. Riding that train, it's a Friday afternoon.
Do you know who I am? You,
wanker.
Trump, 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 Trump.
Pants, pants.
Trump, 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 Trump.
Pants, pants.
All aboard!
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the phones, 844-967-2789. Do it quick. Our pal Scott Russ going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Scott Fitzgerald, he was the conductor of the Trump train right here in the great state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I'd like to think, although Scott Walker, it was his advocacy killing the train, the high-speed rail. Scott Fitzgerald was a tool of his agenda, certainly a tool of Act 10. But now a little over a decade later, we get another shot, Dom. And the Wisconsin State Journal, they've got a little op-ed. I'd like to share it with you and the audience. Madison is getting another shot at a passenger rail station connecting Chicago and Milwaukee with Minneapolis. Let's not blow it. The city needs to quickly identify a preferred site to present to federal officials without lots of squabbling or delay. This is too important for our regional and state economy to get bogged down in parochial concerns. More than a decade ago, Republican Gubernator Scott Walker, killed the high-speed train to Madison. His short-sightedness and political expedient decision cost Wisconsin more than $800 million in federal investment, better connections for business, and travel across the state. What the hell did that guy know about business? winker.
Zero, man. I mean, Doyle, this was a plan under Doyle, and he beat Doyle. He's new to governor, and he's making his mark.
By being a... Anyways, let me read on, because I want to get this in. Walker is gone, thank God. And the need for a modern transportation system has only increased. So now is the time for action. With Democratic Governor Tony Evers in charge of the State House for another 4 years, he's eager for more progress. President Joe Biden and Congress included $66 billion for inner-city passenger rail in their bipartisan transportation package last year. Madison is wisely positioning itself as a beneficial and convenient stop for all of the Midwest. Hell yes, we are. But where would such a Amtrak station go? City officials have floated six possible locations and are seeking public input. Here's all you need to know. The airport's on the north side. Make it a regional commuter hub. Let's just throw it at the airport. There are other downtown locations. I think that's asinine. Don't drag the city through the middle of town. It'd be a little more convenient. But put it at the airport. Problem solved. That's all you need to know. Except all Republicans oppose this. The gerrymandered legislative, let me read on. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, sounds predictably skeptical of anything that might help Madison, even though our region's strong economy and growth help power this entire state. You know what they don't like? The blue overvote. They don't like the number of Democrats that live here, despite the fact we're driving the economy of this state. But let me read on. Voss crowed last week about big government subsidies for Foxconn. Flop in Racine County, which he represents, yet he's rejecting out of hand any state support for a passenger rail to the state capital. If passenger rail is such a bad idea, then why does Amtrak's Hiawatha line run through and stop in Voss's district? Does he oppose that station too? We doubt it. I'll read on. Reasonable Republicans should get behind passenger rail because it's good for business and the economy. Former GOP Governor Tommy Thompson always understood the value. Yet what's needed the most now is agreement at City Hall. The public should weigh in on the preferred site for a station in the coming weeks. Then we should accept the best spot based on city analysis, public consensus, and logistical needs of Amtrak. Do it. Invest in infrastructure. I mean, Jesus. Why is this such a difficult thought process? I mean, they love Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce, but to them, the only part of supporting business they get is a tax cut for rich people. That's been proposed.
The state portion of the infrastructure, at least the portion that the state's on the hook for, done by the locals for the Foxconn, is pushing $1 billion, right? And he's totally fine with that.
It's in his backyard. It's his district.
And if we're looking for leadership and credibility from people like Scott Walker, who immediately tweeted out once this came up, he was against it. Now these Republicans, well, what's their track record? As Crudy mentioned, killing the casino, no legal weed, right? Killing the train.
Killing Medicaid.
Killing the train, but paying to kill the train for $50 million. And then taking this great governmental leadership and business acumen and putting all your eggs in the Foxconn basket? Are you freaking kidding me? Can you point to me one win? Something that you Republicans were right about. That would be a shorter list.
Thank you. That's the sort of anger I'm looking at you. I mean, really. If you supported Foxconn, I'm looking at you, Robin Voss, and certainly you, Scott Walker. Shut the F up. Really, you've got nothing to save. Evermore on economic development, you don't know how it's done. Your idea of economic development is give a rich guy a tax break and wait for your donation to kick back. That's called corruption. That's not governance. Governance is investment for the commons, for all of us. Some of us,
welfare of the citizens. I think there's written in a historical document somewhere that mentions that.
Well, here in the state of Wisconsin, it says right in the Capitol building, the will of the people be done. Something to that effect. I paraphrase. But I can tell you what, as a guy who actually does business in the state of Wisconsin, in all four corners of the state, in Minneapolis outmarkets, in the Milwaukee area, in the Madison area, in all the connecting spots in between, I'd sure as hell ride that train. I would, with frequency, and I would do business the entire time instead of blowing more carbon into the atmosphere and trying to get something done as I'm jamming a cell phone down the highway and trying not to drive someone else off the road. I'm sorry. That's how I drive. You've seen it, Dom. You know I'm not good.
Yes, it's not great.
If I'm distracted.
When we travel, I drive.
Well, if I'm distracted, if I'm driving down the road, right? Well, why can't I take a business-friendly commuter rail trip from here to Milwaukee to Chicago? Hell, maybe I just want to go to the Brewer game.
Right.
Maybe I don't want a DWI on the way home. I know it's sort of the state bird here in the state of Wisconsin, but anyway, Scott Ross, our good friend, aggressive tweeter, when we come back, more Devils.
Are you with me?
You're kidding, right?
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. It's getting better right now. We got a fine guest who's joined us live via Zoom. He's our aggressive tweeting buddy, Scott Ross. Scott, you know, we've used that as a recent moniker for you. I don't know that you have a official title other than Friend of the Devil, but aggressive tweeter since Elon Musk, dude. I have not tweeted since Elon Musk bought the platform. What's your take on that?
Well, he's just a clown from Clown Town, and it just goes to show that you can't buy smarts, no matter if you're once were the richest man in the world or are wherever the hell he is right now. But yeah, he's just a clown. But, you know, again, who would have thought that, like, you know, racism and anti-Semitism would have exploded on a platform owned by a guy who owes his fortune to his daddy, a South African apartheid diamond mine owner, you know, inheriting him his money and going on to Tesla, which he did not found, contrary to what some people may think. So, yeah, so it is an S show, as they say over there. Now he's banning journalists. And again, I'll say this, like, I've never been one of those people. You know, the Republicans do it all the time, but they claim when, like, private companies, you know, make decisions about communications, or people are held accountable by private corporations for their communications, they call it an attack on the First Amendment, which is garbage. We know that only the government can impede the first, you know, only government can inflict punishment upon the First Amendment, not private companies, as distasteful as their activities might be so far. So, I would think that there would have to be something, though. You know, I was reading about it, you know, some sort of Federal Trade Commission violation with what he is doing to, you know, to this, you know, multinational communication vehicle. But that's for people who are lawyers to figure out, and I am not one of those.
I hear the EU may do something, but anyways, care a lot less about Twitter than our relationship with you, Scott Ross. It's been too long, man. Happy holidays. You know what I'm really looking forward to this great Christmas week ahead? Well, on Monday, there's going to be a January 6th committee hearing, sort of a bonus overtime special for us, Scott. And I understand they're going to drop the January 6th report on Monday up to the episode. And I'm really, really curious about the very last guy, supposedly the gave testimony, Robin Voss. I'd like to see the transcripts. Might have to wait till Wednesday, but that'd be a hell of a Christmas surprise for me and the whole great state of Wisconsin. Scott, what do you think he said about Trump and the pressure campaign to decertify the 2020 election?
I mean, if he's honest, you know, he'd say exactly what happened in the way in which this, you know, multi-state effort to overturn the results of a democratically decided election, which included, you know, among other people, the wife of a Supreme Court Justice, Ginny Thomas. And so I will be interested absolutely to see what's in there. You know, Voss clung to Trump as much as he possibly could. I mean, there was that famous little picture of the two of them sidling up in some plane when Voss scurried, and that is the appropriate word, scurried to Mar-a-Lago to speak with Trump after they were having some conflicts. So I am definitely excited to see what's in there, and I for sure I'm guessing that any of the, you know, potential prosecutions, the scope of it won't be as long as the three of us might be as wide as the three of us might like. But I think it's important. I mean, it's absolutely important for the Department of Justice and Merrick Garland to hold these people accountable for what they did, which is, again, commit basically treason and try and overturn the results of a democratically decided election through skullduggery and in some instances violence. Because if you don't, you know, you never reinforce an undesired behavior. Right. But if you don't stop them, if people are not prosecuted, people who matter are not prosecuted for committing these crimes, they'll do it again. You know, we saw it I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but when the Obama administration didn't punish anybody in the Bush administration for either the economic collapse, for the war crimes, for the lying us into the Iraq war, any of those things, for the corruption, you know, it just was opened the door to the next time there was a Republican in there, that being Trump, opening the door to even more massive crimes. So that's, I think that's the real challenge, that if you don't create that disincentive for committing crimes, there are criminals will commit crimes, you know, and if we can do it for the mom, you know, the single mom struggling on welfare assistance in Milwaukee, who may get more childcare credit than she should have. And there's a 4-day series on it in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and on the local Milwaukee TV. I think you can hold elected officials and folks like that accountable for committing criminal acts against this great nation.
Scott Ross, our good friend. Scott, I certainly think there probably were some criminal co-conspirators from the state of Wisconsin. I just look at the list of the false Trump electors. But I'd like to draw a small distinction. Technically, Robin Voss could be the victim of a crime here. He could be the victim of the pressure campaign from Donald Trump. And let's not forget, Trump came to Wisconsin. Trump endorsed Adam Steen, nearly got the guy beat in the primary. And subsequently, Voss has come out and purged Janelle Branchen from the Assembly Elections Committee. Is it possible that victim Robin Voss got his vengeance in sworn testimony? I think it's far more likely that he told the truth or something close to it.
We'll see. You know, again, we'll see. I mean, my experience with Robin Voss in terms of testimony and that sort of thing is he had to testify in our Twitter lawsuit against that we ran against him when speaking of Twitter before, when we successfully argued in federal court that he had violated the government open records laws of the state of Wisconsin by blocking One Wisconsin Now actually the First Amendment was a federal judge. That he had violated our constitutional rights by blocking us on Twitter because it was a government account. I'm guessing that Voss probably told, you know, probably was inclined to tell the truth being under oath, and that he had a little bit of an axe to grind. But like I don't see Voss as the victim in any of this. You know, he rode this train, you know, throughout the last 15 years. And so if that station ends up in a place that he doesn't like, he's only got himself to blame for that. And yes, that was a segue, Mike.
Well done, Scott Ross, our friend. But let's, of course. I mean, Voss is trying to get it all ways all the time. That's how he rolls. And he's been pretty good at it. Let's not forget, he appointed Gableman, right? I mean, what kind of a fiasco was that? So he tried to appease Trump, which you can never do. He tried to, you know, hang on to those voters, which you can never do, because they're going to do what Trump wants. And then he's fighting within his own party here. And, you know, I live in the Wisconsin Senate 8th District, and Janelle Branchen apparently is going to run as one of those Republicans, along with some other folks that signed the letter. Dan Canole is one of the 15 that signed the letter to Mike Pence the day before the riotous insurrection, asking him not to certify the election. So we have lots of those people in the Republican Party. And of course, on the national level, Scott, McCarthy's, you know, fighting for Speaker of the House, and he's kind of beholden to Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, how does this person come up to have the influence that she has in Crazy Town? Scott, it seems to me the Republican Party is in disarray.
Yes. I you know, there is a lot of chaos over on the other side of the fence, that's for sure. I guess the real challenge is here that we have come to a place where we have two separate realities which exist. We have the reality where science and mathematics rule, you know, the one that we all and most of the people in the United States live in. And then you have the Fox News, OAN, Newsmax, Dan O'Donnell, right-wing, you know, Looney Tunes place where, like, they simply, the reality doesn't exist, and they are a chamber which operates basically in a vacuum. And that's why I think we see, you know, you see the evidence that that's not working are when you see things like, you know, we're all waiting for the latest caravans to be coming up from Central America right before the election, which seems to, you know, coincide with every time there's an election. Fox News starts yammering about that. The challenge is that the mainstream media then feels like they have to address that, you know, so they're winning. So the right is winning by virtue of getting the regular mainstream media to pick up on things that simply have no basis in fact, so it shouldn't even be argued. Like, getting to have that argument exist is the Republicans winning, you know, by virtue of that. So, I mean, that's the problem, is that there is this alternative reality which exists where people, you know, share ideas and beliefs about things that really don't operate in the known universe, but they continue. I mean, you know, television, I mean, we're all radio fans, but television is, as Howard Beale said, is the most awesome GD force in the whole godless world, because you can just sit there and have it like come into you. You know, you are seeing it, you are hearing it. It's stimulating all those, you know, motor neurons in your brains. The problem is that, you know, as long as that stuff exists to pollute people's brains, their brains are going to be polluted because it's such a passive, you know, it's such a passive activity.
And now you can get it on demand on your phone, man. So, you know, there's really no limit to it, and you can wormhole down anything. If you want it, you can search for it, you'll find it. All right, but in that sense, though, we have some new leadership here in the state of Wisconsin. Brian Schimme, now the GOP chair. And I saw on Washington Post, Mark Thiessen wrote an op-ed about Gallagher up in the Green Bay area as an up-and-coming Republican. We have new leadership in Wisconsin and a sharp young lad up in Green Bay. Is that bode well for us, Scott?
I don't think at all, because every time that the opportunities existed for, you know, Mike Gallagher to stand up to his party and this craziness, when things actually matter, you know, around election time, around the time when important legislation is passing, he cowers and can't be found. You know, this guy, you know, that's a thing, like him and Brian Stile are so embodiment of Paul Ryan, which is this, you know, wealthy white guys who get a free pass because, like, you know, Milwaukee media likes them because they're, you know, young, handsome Republicans. I mean, that's just the way it is. They, you know, Paul Ryan, precious Paul Ryan, was like the sacred cow of Wisconsin politics. He could not be, you know, you could not talk poorly about him by virtue of, I don't know why, you know, I mean, I don't understand what he had, you know, because of the three post offices he got named, you know, named while he was, you know, during his 20 years in the House. But I think that's a challenge. I mean, the thing is that Democrats have to be going after these guys, because if you're not creating that contrast in the media is just going to report one side. Like, Democrats need to get off their butts, and they need to start going after the House members, you know, with radio, with communications, with rapid response, with press releases, with elected officials going after them on the Democratic side, in the first congressional district against Brian Stile, in the third congressional district against Looney Tune terrorist insurrectionist Derek Van Orten, in the seventh against Tom Tiffany, and then certainly in the eighth against Mike Gallagher, because that guy's all but declared. I mean, that column you read by Mark Thiessen, who, let's not forget, Mark Thiessen was the author of Scott Walker's unreadable tome, unconscionable, no, unintimidated. Yeah. That guy's all but declared that he's going to run against Tammy Baldwin in 2024.
Yeah.
And if I just may, one little segue or one little side note here. Back in 2013, when Unintimidated came out, I was supposed to be on MSNBC to talk about it and give my review of it. And so I had purchased it. Okay. And it was sitting in my house, and I left my house to go to the gym, and I came back 40 minutes later, which tells you how long I was at the gym. And I had left my back window open, and someone broke into my house and stole my iPad, which was underneath my copy of Unintimidated, but they left the copy of Unintimidated.
Scott Ross, do you recall when the let's call them the sing-along people, where they went and they were the truly unintimidated ones? Do you know they went to press with a book entitled Unintimidated before Scott Walker got to press? And Tammy Baldwin was in studio one day, and I said, which Unintimidated book would you prefer? Folks, you are
my contribution to the literature was I went over to Barnes & Noble at the Easttown Mall, and I put all Walker's copies in the fiction, new fiction section when they came out.
There was fiction
in
that book. I could tell you chapter and verse. Scott Ross, you got more time for us, man? You sticking around?
Sure.
Friday Absolutely. Grievances with Scott Ross, our good buddy, an aggressive tweeter. But in the unintimidated book, Ghost, written by Mark Thiessen about Scott Walker's fantasy life, he claims up in La Crosse he was surrounded by protesters and they shook the car and he was fearful for his life. And I called friends in the media in La Crosse and they said that never happened. Yeah. It never happened. Yeah. Not like sort of, maybe. No, never happened. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. We're for real, I promise.
Just because he says it doesn't make it true.
The suspense is terrible. I hope it'll last.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you missed any of this fine program, go to civicmedia.us. Click on the Devil's Advocates tab for podcasts and interviews.
Our good friend Scott Ross aggressively tweeting and talking here on the Devil's Advocates on a Friday afternoon. Scott, I've got to turn it to the backyard politics just for a few minutes. There is a special election happening for Dom's representation in the Wisconsin State Senate. And apparently Alberta Darling, she's out. She resigned. And at least the Dems finally got someone to run. But it is a cavalcade of Republicans. Scott, what's your opinion of the field of Republicans seeking Alberta Darling's seat?
Well, I mean, you know, when one of the more formative elected officials in the race is a guy who was run out of office for having sex with a Republican staffer, you can see the
quality.
Thank you very much.
The quality. Come on, Hopper married that girl.
I mean, I remember because I was still working at OWN when Randy Bedhopper was the talk of the town and the recalls and such, and he got run out by Jess King. One of the two successful recalls, one of the three successful recall elections that Democrats had during the Walker uprising. The thing is that these races, by and large, it's either going to be Kenoda or it's going to be Branchon, because these races, almost, I would say 99.9% of the races, when it's a primary for a Senate seat, a member of the legislature is running, an assembly person, they win the primary. You know, it's because of name ID or whatever it is. You know, it's why here in Dane County, whenever there's a new assembly race, it's usually a county board supervisor who wins. You know, if a county board supervisor gets into the primary, because they just, you know, they have the name ID. Not that it's huge, but, you know, so that's, you know, and there's Kenoda, who's a clown car. And then you've got Branchon, who's just like, I mean, she would be the best for the Democrats because, you know, terrorist insurrectionist is like still not thought of as a good thing. You know, the things that she did. The fact is that Voss wants her out of the caucus. So, you know, which, much like Adam Jarkow. So maybe she'll get across the line and then lose like Jarkow did against spacing on her name, Patty Schachner. So we'll see.
Scott Ross, based on that logic, how about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race? We've obviously got the Scott Walker former appointee, Dan Kelly, who got his ass handed to him by Jill Karofsky, 163,000 votes, I believe. And then suddenly the glamorous celebrity judge from the Waukesha parade trial, Doro, got in the race. Well, she's got some name recognition. She's got some celebrity. That's all it's really going to take, I think. Although apparently she's on the wrong side of the bail issue, Scott. The same thing they eviscerated Mandela for, are they going to go after her for? And would you say the Republican Party will then be in disarray?
Well, I mean, this is the thing. The dynamics of this race are different from any Supreme Court race we have ever had in the state of Wisconsin. And that's because, at least going back to when there were actual, you know, maybe 30 years ago, there were races that were competitive, but they weren't paid attention to and they didn't spend a lot of money. Right. So for the past like 25 years, going back to like 1997, at least, you know, the Supreme Court races have been, you know, the primaries are a Dem and a Republican, or two Dems and a Republican. And WMC comes in a week and a half before the election, spends $500,000 to $1 million in positive ads for the Republican. So the Republican's name ID goes up. They get between 46% and 48%. And then the media for the next like 6 weeks till the general election is like, you know, Judge R, who got 48% in the primary, and Judge D, who got 33% in the primary. You know what I mean? So like, this is a this is a dynamic which has never existed, where there are two Republicans in it, and you've got big spenders. You know, you've got the Hendrixes are already on the side of racist Dan Kelly. We'll see. I mean, the U lines. You see if Hendrix gets behind. I mean, it's going to be a fascinating race, and it's for all the marbles. I mean, if the Dems win this, it could change, you know, so much of the lawlessness of the Republicans in the legislature, and Governor Walker and Scott Walker were codified by a Republican controlled Supreme Court, and so much of that could get tossed if the progressives are successful. And it is for all the marbles. It's all hands on deck. You know, I mean, there should be nothing else that people are focusing on the Democratic side, albeit I know they got to write a budget, but put two people in a room and write a budget. Have everybody else in the Democratic thing should be working on this until the April general election.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point. Scott Ross, our fine guest, for just a couple more minutes. The respect for Mayor, before we get to that, I also want to mention Scott Walker's kid is the campaign manager for Kelly's campaign, to my understanding.
Well, then you got two people coming together who have had a lot of experience in writing concession speeches. It's going to hum on election night.
Scott, a good week. The Respect for Marriage Act finally passed, but not thanks to, you know, Senator Ron Johnson here in the state of Wisconsin. I know you've been critical of some of the other Republicans on this. I want to give you the last couple of minutes here to opine on your thoughts regarding, you know, Derek Van Orden, Ron Johnson, Wisconsin Law and Liberty, of course, the former governor, Scott Walker.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, it's very clear. I mean, if you look at what's happened with LGBTQIA rights in the last like 15 years, it got to the point where like where people accepted gay marriage, right? It was the Supreme Court made gay marriage legal, same-sex marriage legal. But what has happened when it comes to trans people and the attack from alleged parents' rights groups, you know, those bottom-feeding scumbags, the Moms for Liberty and whatever the hell, Scarlett Johnson, her group, I can't remember. If you've been following any of this stuff, in and around the 8th Senate District.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's interesting. Because like they've been rejected for the most part at the election box when, you know, with things they have tried to do. But like those bottom feeders go to those meetings. They, you know, I don't know if you saw, there was one where like the Germantown Library had a Pride Month display, and a trans teenager put a display up 2 years ago. No problem. Put it up last year. Those people went crazy. And so as a result, the library decided it was going to get rid of having displays so that it didn't have to deal with the controversy of saying that gay people and trans people should be treated like human beings, you know? So they're not going to stop. The Journal Sentinel, you know, is doing a disservice to the people of Wisconsin in the way that they have covered these groups and these individuals, Scarlett Johnson and the Moms for Liberty, with these gauzy profiles after they lost. And so I would ask them to stop doing that. You know, we have to stop platforming, you know, people who want to take away other people's rights in such a despicable way. That's just my own beef with it. The challenge is that like these people have a microphone. They have a really large microphone. We have to beat them with shoe leather and with our tenacity.
Well, that or Derek Van Orden's going to have to come to your library and check out all the books. Scott Ross, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. We'll catch up with you soon. Thank you so much for coming around. We got Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, joining us for the Happier Happy Hour.
Thanks, Scott.